Right, well, welcome to church, everyone. My name is Tim. I'm the pastor here with Victoria, and it's great to have you. I was thinking, one of the things I was keen to do is, if it's not tonight, that's cool, but it'd be great to keep hanging out after church. I know some of us need to get home and watch The Voice. but, you know, there's a really cool bar just around the corner called the Troubadour. People know that? So just like Keenan's probably there all the time. So I don't know if this is the week, but I thought, you know, it'd be good to keep hanging out after church, to go and have some food and a drink. And the Troubadour is just around the corner. Where is it? It's kind of, it's on Pittwater Road, just around from the lights. So anyhow, do that. The reason I say that is because good things happen when we hang out. We invited a bunch of the young adults over for a Netflix and a chill on Friday night. I don't even know what that means. So, and if you know what that means, shame on you. but I just want to say good things happen when we hang out together. So do more of it. And we had a great time on Friday night with some of you young guys, so that was good. All right, we're going to do a new series starting today in Colossians. One of the reasons that we preach through books of the Bible is because we want to get the full wisdom and revelation of God and from Scripture. Otherwise, it would just be me trying to come up with something new each week, and that would be really boring. I'd probably just speak on having dinner parties the whole time, which is kind of what I did last term. But we want to preach just kind of through the Scriptures because it also helps us, or helps me and Joey and others who'll speak, to not avoid the difficult things of Scriptures. And often it's the hard things in the Bible that can be really good for us and that God can use to speak into our lives. So we do topical series here at Manly Life, but actually what we find is if we just preach through the Bible, all the topics are going to come up, right? Even in Colossians. It's a full letter. There's so much of it that God can use to speak to us into our lives now. And so that's what we find. As we preach through these letters, God is going to speak to us. And if we are open and hungry for Him, He's going to use His Word to transform us by His Spirit and empower us to live new lives. So I'm going to read Colossians verses 1 to 8, chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles on a phone or you brought like a paper one, open that to Colossians and let's get into the Word of God. All right. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and he told us of your love in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder if any of this sounds familiar. The gospel coming into people's lives and them becoming passionate followers of Jesus. That's been happening here at Manly Life in the last 6 months. I've lost count of people who've come to a life-giving faith in Jesus Christ. It's happening at Alpha. It happened a few weeks or months ago when we had those baptisms and all those stories of people meeting God and coming alive in Christ. Well, in Colossians, Paul says, we always thank God when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's peoples. So back then, today, a move of God was happening. But then you still find yourself surrounded by other philosophies and beliefs and practices. In fact, you've kind of realized that what you believe is not particularly popular in today's culture. Think of Manly, full of yoga studios and self-help coaches. Think about the religion section in the local bookshop. You've got books on New Age and Buddhism and Islam and paganism. If you're lucky, you might find a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life. And then even in Manly, surrounding us, you get sects of the Christian faith, ones that have left being part of the mainstream of the church, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and all these groups that have added extra things on top of the Bible. And so you're coming under pressure. I don't know if you feel this, but to believe that every belief is equally valid. Whatever you believe, that's good for you. If it works for you, fantastic. In Colossians, Paul's going to say to us, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. See, the children of God, we always need to be challenged not to be taking a pick-and-mix gospel, taking the bits that we like from Christianity and then fusing it and syncretizing it with all the other stuff around us. Same back then, same today. And then you find people committed to Christ but still struggling with the big dangers of sex, greed, and power. I've had a bunch of you recently asking me to address your struggles with porn, or sex outside of marriage, or just lust, or any of those kind of things. I hear of relentless pressures in our culture to keep up, to be rich, to be successful, put profits over people. In Colossians, Paul's going to say this to us. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your minds on things above. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Paul says, take it out behind the shed, shoot it, get rid of it. And then he's going to go on to say, be clothed in Christ and all these beautiful new things, the new life that we get. So this is the letter to the Colossians, but it could equally be written to us today. And that is the power of scriptures. It could be written to us, believers here in Manly, here in Sydney. And here's what the Apostle Paul is going to want this church in this city to know. So what we need to know is that the true gospel is bigger, more incomparable, more powerful, more transformative than they could ever have imagined. And so this letter is going to be about the supremacy of Christ. He is the one in whom God chose to have the fullness of himself dwell. And so he is the Lord of lords. So you don't need to add to the gospel and mix it in with other beliefs. You don't need to keep going back to old ways of living. This gospel is a big enough story to captivate your life and to give you a hope and a future. You see, we're all going to come under pressure to conform to the world around us. And so Paul presents to them this Jesus who is God. One of the things, it's a kind of a theological term, but they say about the book of Colossians, it has a high Christology. So other letters, other books of the Bible, they emphasize Jesus' humanity, right? His very human nature. But Colossians reminds us that this is God incarnate, dwelling amongst us. So this is a story that we can get our lives fully wrapped up into. All right, so we're doing an intro, if you hadn't noticed, to the book of Colossians tonight. So who were these Colossian believers? Well, Colossae was a Roman city located in modern-day Turkey. Has anyone been there? No? All right. Well, it's in Turkey, believe me. It's a big city near Ephesus. So Ephesus was the big major city of the area, and Colossae was a couple of miles down the street. So it wasn't a big consequential city. Think Newcastle. Ooh. Okay. And then it mainly would have been Greek-speaking citizens. But then since the Jewish people were scattered hundreds of years before, there would have been a Jewish population too. So Jews and Greeks, think Bondi. All right. So this was a city where all kinds of philosophies and spiritualities were mixing. This was an amazing little city. It was a trade center. It was a meeting place between the East and the West. So it was a bit of a spiritual hodgepodge. So here's what had happened. Paul had been a persecutor and a hater of Christians. And then he meets the risen Jesus and he gets converted. And then he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, right? So Paul begins to take the gospel up into the Roman Empire. Paul spends 3 years in Ephesus. A church forms there. And one of the guys, a Greek guy called Epaphras, well, I've muddled that now. Let's just say his name was Pappy. He then took the gospel to this other city called Colossae. And Paul writes this letter to them from being in prison in Rome. So the final book of Colossians, Paul says to them, "Remember my chains." He's not speaking metaphorically. He's literally locked up in jail. But anyhow, the church is going pretty well. It's a bit of a love fest, this letter. That's why he gives thanks for what he's heard about them. That faith has taken hold of their lives and they're beginning to love one another well. Pretty good markers that Jesus is getting hold of a community. So it's in fulfillment of Jesus' great commission. It's happening. Jesus has said, take this gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. Here they are 30 years later. And the gospel, there is a church in this city. So Paul has never been to Colossae, but he hopes to visit them. He writes them a letter from jail. Hey, I love it in Romans where Paul says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And you got to wonder, having any good come from being locked up in jail, right? So Paul's got this purpose in his life. He wants to take the gospel to the world. And he's spending these years just locked up, kind of festering away in prison. So what does Paul do while he's locked up? He begins to write these letters of encouragement to all the different churches that have been established. And so from prison, we get the foundational books of the New Testament, our deep understanding of theology, because Paul used that time when his circumstances were against him to bless and to encourage. And it just makes me think, what about you and me? What are you facing right now? What are the places in your life where you don't want to be where you are now? Maybe career's not working out. Maybe relationships aren't happening for you. Maybe you're not finding yourself in community. God can use you no matter what the circumstances or situation if you are willing to bless and encourage others. That was an aside. All right, final thing tonight. I just want to draw out this link between how true faith in Jesus leads to love for God's people. Verse 3, Paul had written this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. Faith and love. And he says, the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. It's interesting in Colossians that we kind of over and over, Paul talks about the true gospel, the true message of the faith. Another place he says he thanks God that they've understood God's grace. And he thanks God for their love for one another. So faith and practice are linked, faith and love. You find that all the time, right? And it goes on to say that the gospel is bearing fruit. Now, I guess it's a bit like this picture behind me, which I love. The book of Colossians, and it's a bit represented by this tree. A tree with deep roots, a deep, healthy system, enabling that tree to grow up and to flourish and to bear fruit and to be full of life. And I guess what Paul's wanting to say in this message is get the true gospel. Fight for the faith. Don't add other things onto your beliefs. Don't be pressured to conform to the world. Because if your roots go down strong, if you really understand God's grace, it is going to bear fruit in your lives. You're going to be able to live a life of love. live a life of meaning and of purpose and with hope. And so in the same way in our lives, how good was that? Zoe's been a Christian for a year and she gets up after the worship and she just knows the gospel, right? She preaches the gospel through the prodigal son to every single one of us. And so often our lack of transformation or our lack of love or good relationships in our lives stems back to the fact that we haven't put down good roots. We don't understand the gospel. I was talking to a Christian friend who I think was making some poor ethical decisions. Part of that was a fair bit of sexual immorality and so on. And he told me that the Jesus he followed wouldn't have a problem with that. Now, I just didn't know where to start, right? I don't know, what do you say to that? Because you can't just make up your own Jesus. You can't make up your own gospel and then expect your life to bear fruit. So we want to get this stuff right. Right belief about Jesus if it's going to transform who we are. So what's the true gospel? Well, we're going to get that through this letter. Chapter 1, verse 1, grace and peace to you from God. Verse 4, your faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 13 to 14, he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Verse 20, we have peace through his blood shed on the cross. Chapter 2, verse 6, you received Jesus as Lord. Verse 13, you were dead in your sins, but now God has made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. Chapter 2, verse 14, God cancelled our debt. Chapter 3, verse 12, we are now God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. Do you see what I mean about wanting to get a true understanding of the gospel? Because it's amazing. It's transforming. You don't need to look anywhere else. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to go back to old patterns of life. Because the big theme is that God has moved towards you and he's given you grace and he's given you peace. The way that we received it was it came through our faith in Jesus Christ in whom we meet God. And so we got rescued. We're living over here in darkness and slavery and fear. And he rescues us out of that. And he brings us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And that peace, it came because of the blood that he shed on the cross. And as a result, my hope is that every single one of us has got to the place where we now confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He has authority. He has the final say on what I believe and who I am and where I'm going in my life. And so we've gone from being dead in our sins to now alive in him. A whole new level of being alive where his resurrection power is at work in us. And so with our debt cancelled, we are now chosen by God. And what are we chosen by God to do? Well, to be dearly loved and to be holy, to be set apart. To live so differently to the rest of the world that they too are drawn into this story. So finally it says, as the true gospel leads us into faith, it produces love. And that's what Paul gives thanks for. If you want to know what I give thanks for in this church, it's when I see great acts of love amongst you guys. Right? Because that's the true marker that the gospel has gotten a hold of your life. It's when our faith begins to just translate out into love for one another. Someone at Alpha asked me this week, what was it that made me become a Christian? When I was at the end of high school, I got invited to a church where I met all these guys and girls who had faith in God. They were passionate about Jesus. They believed all this stuff. But it wasn't their beliefs that so much drew me into faith. It was their love for one another. It was their love for me with all of my brokenness and sin and mess. And it was a love that I couldn't find anywhere else. So Manly Life, then as now, that is the true test of the gospel. Whether it has been understood in your life is it's going to begin to bear fruit. If you get a true understanding of what the gospel is, that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you've been rescued, that you've been redeemed, then you're going to begin to live a life of radical compassion and generosity and practical acts of service, Come on, Brady. All right, let's stand. Joey, you good? Why don't we stand together? So that's the marker. Not that in every discussion in life you're going to be correct or right, or think of yourself better than others, but that your faith has resulted in love for one another that is unrighteous.